All right, welcome to episode 14 of the Radio Live Transmission Podcast. I am your host, Ryan. Thank you guys for listening. We're here today with a friend of mine by the name of Paul Lukomsky. What's going on, Paul?
What's going on, man?
How you doing?
Good, good.
Good, good, thanks. We are going to be talking about two albums today. It's kind of interesting because I think this is the first episode where we're going to talk about two albums that on the surface really don't have anything to do with each other. But it was kind of interesting when Paul suggested the second one to me. It was a good sort of nostalgic to a degree album since I hadn't listened to it in a while, and I'm glad that I got back into it because it's just a great album. So first album we're going to talk about is the new Wolves in the Throne album, which is called Thrice Woven, and the second album we're going to be talking about is Cake's 1996 album Fashion Nugget. So Paul, why don't you give the listeners just a little bit of lowdown about, you know, the work that you do at the radio station at WestCon, Western Connecticut State University, and just musical taste in general.
I've been doing the radio station for many years now. Ran Heart Attack there, as well as when I went to UConn, ran it up there. Mm-hmm. So the show was actually in two locations for a little while. Oh. And then once finished up with school, came back and just continued doing it at WestCon with Dan, who has been on the show, I believe.
Right? Dan has made an appearance on the show, yeah.
And so kind of just never stopped.
Right.
Just been doing it for a long time. Right. But we love doing it just because we have access to so much good music, and not just metal, which is great because through doing the show, I actually, you know, and filling in at times, ended up doing blues shows for a while.
Nice.
And it really helped me get me into blues.
Yeah.
And just kind of actually really got into it and ended up getting into bluegrass as a result of it, too.
That's cool.
Musically, as much as I love metal and it's truly my passion, my tastes go all over the place, which is kind of why we're doing Cake in a way, too. I mean, in no way do either of these bands have anything to do with each other.
Right.
Actually, you know, I shouldn't say that. They are both hippies. Big hippies. That's what they are, man.
Yeah.
That is the connection
we
right
found,
there.
Yeah, we found the link, yeah. That's funny. I kept thinking about this before we came here to record the show, like about how Dan, our friend, mutual friend Dan, who was on episode 4 where we reviewed Mastodon's Emperor of Sand, and I think we did Vulgar Display of Power. Yeah, that's right. Dan always sort of he likes to tell a story about how Paul knows like every obscure band in any sub genre of metal, and it is kind of funny. Like I forget what the band was like that he used in Antipathy.
Probably Antipathy.
But yeah. Apparently, yeah, you're known as a sort of an encyclopedia of.
You know, like I said, it is a passion. Somewhere in my collection of nostalgia, I have a lot of Metal Maniacs out magazines still around, and I wish they were still around, but I don't know, you know, found some all, you know, some substitutes that are pretty good, so that definitely keeps me in the know.
Yeah.
But honestly, a lot of it is just from, you know, the reps that we get service. You find out a lot about these random obscure bands in the middle of nowhere, and you know, unless I was getting this information, and most people don't unless you're really looking for it. Yeah, but like Chile and South America are a hotbed for extreme music right now. And it's not a place you normally think about, but it is. It's just hard to get a lot of those bands up here. A few are kind of getting up there finally because they're getting a lot of American distribution finally through some pretty cool labels. And fortunately, we are pushing, you know, able to push these bands too.
Yeah.
So it feels good to be able, you know, have, you know, these guys have an outlet in the United States, you know,
that's great,
or wherever
yeah.
we broadcast. So it's pretty cool.
That is cool. Yeah, because I was thinking that, like, you know, it must sort of feel like you get inundated sometimes with music, and it's like, you know, to sort of have to go through all that, and
it's time consuming.
Yeah.
It really is. Doing the radio show, I mean, it is very time consuming because, and I finally cracked down recently to just organize all the music because it was so scattered.
Yeah.
It just things weren't, you know, nice and organized. Albums weren't together with the bands that they're supposed to be with and things like that. So on the hard drive, you know, been trying to clean that up and we get, you know, anywhere from 15 to 20 a week.
Wow.
It's a lot. And
that is a lot.
And not all of it's good.
Right.
But you gotta filter through it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, you have to give it a chance. Yeah.
We do like 9 to 10 ads every week. You know, and take 9 to 10 out, and mm-hmm. you know, we try to pick the best that we can get out of that. And
right.
it can be very tough because sometimes there's some really good stuff all at one time.
Right.
Sometimes there's a lot of bad stuff.
Right.
all at one time.
Yeah.
So it does get a little inundating at times.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah.
Thankfully, everything's digital now, though. That makes it a lot easier than having it
right.
in hard form. Storage space might being the biggest. I mean,
exactly. Yeah.
For this kind of stuff.
Right. yeah. Yeah, I can imagine. So, yeah, that's not a huge area you have at the radio station.
No,
so just
no.
Imagine.
And we don't even we can't even keep it there anymore. So we
Jesus.
Between Dan and I, we have split it between our houses.
oh my God.
It's a bit yeah.
It sounds like a transport nightmare.
Pretty much. Yeah. We definitely got our workout carrying those. Cases of CDs, man.
Yeah, Jesus. All right, well, hopefully that hopefully that gets a little bit easier for you in this burgeoning digital age, I guess I'll say. But all right, cool. Well, let's get into talking about our first album for today, which is the new Wolves in the Throne Room album. It's called Thrice Woven. Paul's holding the vinyl right here as we speak. I'm jealous.
You know what? I'm so stupid. I totally missed out on the pre-order of the limited copy, so I ended up just getting the black vinyl. I didn't get the colored. I was a little upset, but it's my own fault. So,
They're one of those bands that knows how to get your money, right?
No doubt about that.
Yeah, so. But, all right, well, Paul, why don't you sort of give the listeners your overall take on this record? Now that it's been out, it came out September 22nd, I think.
Yeah, it's been a couple of weeks.
Yeah, we've had some time to sort of absorb it. So, what are your thoughts on it now? Well.
I probably went into it with higher expectations than I should have. Mm-hmm. It may have led me to have, the feelings that I ended up having with it. Just because I knew they were going to be returning back to the, black metal form, and I completely anticipated the mm-hmm. fact that they were going to blend a little bit of Celestite into
right.
this. I get it. It's fine, and I'm totally cool with it. I just had different issues with the album. While I did... Mm-hmm. like, and I think some of the songs were really, pretty good and catchy. I think the first track, Born from the Serpent's Eye,
mm-hmm.
is the standout track on the album.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing, and I mentioned to you before, was the patterns that occur in this album, and it's almost like a very predictable, and while they did do some pretty cool stuff, with having Steve Von Till do some background vocals
mm-hmm.
on it, and I love Steve Von Till, I love his solo work too,
mm-hmm.
It was different to an extent, cool, but something about just the format of it, it almost made it lackluster in a way.
Right, right.
And maybe it's just my own expectations just not being met because I had high expectations
right.
because I'm a big fan of these guys. I've been a big fan for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say exactly when I got into them. I want to say it's right around when their second album probably came out is when I just
mm-hmm.
discovered them.
Mm-hmm.
And then, right before Two Hunters came out, a little bit right before that, but I knew
mm-hmm.
definitely about them before Two Hunters.
Right.
So Diadem of the 12 Stars, I think that's when that came out.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I got into them.
Mm-hmm.
And absolutely loved it. I flew out to Portland, Oregon to see them play because
nice.
I wasn't sure when in the hell they were ever going to play
right.
the East Coast at that point in time. So they played a killer festival. I have a big poster of it upstairs. I'll have to grab it because
mm-hmm.
the band listing on it is just phenomenal.
Yeah.
But they headlined one of the nights, including Nocnistium was there. I think
mm-hmm.
Neurosis, Sun.
Wow.
Amazing set.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like three nights. And I'm a huge fan. So
now, did they do the whole, because I know they're so much about the ambiance and just like the, they love to play outdoor festivals specifically so that they can do so much with just the...
I would love to see them in an outdoor festival.
Yeah.
I mean, when I saw them out in Oregon, that was a long time ago, so it was definitely earlier stuff, very
mm-hmm.
still all black metal driven. Then
mm-hmm.
I saw them again last year about this time in the city,
mm-hmm.
so they had they played one of the songs, and I'm pretty sure it was Fires Roar in the Palace of the Moon. I'm
mm-hmm.
not positive, but I think that's the one it was.
Mm-hmm.
And so they played that along with older stuff, and they definitely blended a little bit more atmosphere to it, but it was still a straight-up black metal show.
Right.
There's no
right.
doubt about it.
That's cool.
But I'd love to see I missed it for the Celestique tour that they did.
Right.
And it was very limited. Specific venues all had to be outdoor. Very, you know, just natural.
Yeah. Gotcha. What were your thoughts on Celestique? Because that seems to be a very, you know, a very divisive.
Yeah, most people don't like it. And that's fine. I think it was, you know, they needed to get it out of their system.
Right.
It's not something I'm going to reach for and listen to all the time.
Right.
But once in a rare while, if I'm really in the mood, and that'll take a mood specifically to get me there. But, you know, it would, you know, it's there. I know it's mm-hmm. there. I got it.
Right.
I don't know how often I'm going to listen to it, though.
Right.
I will throw on plenty of their other things. My personal favorite is the EP that they did with Looming Resonance. Mm-hmm. That is my favorite track that there's ever written. Mm-hmm. Absolutely love it. And I don't know why, but it's not even Nate Weaver doing the vocals. It's actually, I forget who it was. I got to look at the record to find the name.
Mm-hmm.
But her vocals were phenomenal. It's a great tune.
That's cool.
Never see it play live, probably. The rarity that I see them playing. But,
right.
Yeah, I'd like to see them play some of these live, just mm-hmm. because you definitely have to add a lot of that in.
Right.
I presume if they are going to play the track with Steve Von Till, which I think is a great track,
mm-hmm.
They might just have him, you know, somehow, you know, dubbed in via the computer or something like that, if they were mm-hmm. to do it.
Right, right.
Although, maybe on a rare occurrence, they will have him there at a show.
Yeah, you know? That would be cool. Yeah, well. Yeah. Yeah, overall, I mean, the album, it like I said, when we first started talking about it, it sort of feels like it's a safe sort of middle of the road album that is a return to form, like you said, after the, you know, the sort of drone ambient experimentation of Celestique. But I feel like, unfortunately, the album has a tendency to sort of rush things along, I think. And it has a very polished sound, too, compared to
yes,
to my ear,
that,
compared to
definitely.
A lot of the earlier, which is interesting. Like, it's weird because it probably would make the album more accessible, I think, to a degree, to people who really aren't into black metal so much. So it's kind of an odd thing for me. Like, they have this more polished sound, yet, I don't know, it's weird. Like, so to me, it's like, why are they, what's the motivation to try to really, like, break into other sort of, like, fan bases or groups? It's weird to me, but
I felt like, and it's not the first time it's been done. I don't think it's not even really the first time they've done it, but it's like, uh-huh. Hey, NPR, can you notice us?
Yeah.
You know, in that kind of sense, almost, just because they are that kind of almost a hipster band now.
Yeah.
They really, and they have been for a little while.
Yeah.
They, I think, can attribute it to themselves, too, because they do play into that kind of mentality and attitude a lot of times. Maybe not so much hipster, but they live in the middle of the woods. They have their own little enclave.
Right,
you know, living off the earth and the land, man. Like I said, they are hippies.
Right.
They are
hippies. They just happen to play.
They just happen to play really, really dark, fast right. metal. And yep. very ethereal things, too, though. Like,
right.
you see both aspects of it. Like mm-hmm. I said, I think the album, you know, it has its moments. It's the first track, I think, probably being one of the strongest. I like Angry Boda, track 3, the mm-hmm. beginning of it. I think it's great.
Yeah.
I was one of my favorite track. Like, I heard track 3, I'm like, all right, this is going to be good.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it tapers off into this just obscure ambience, and I'm like, oh, man, come on. And they don't return it. They don't mm-hmm. get back. It just goes from heavy, mellow, and the song's over. I'm like,
right.
damn it.
Yeah.
It's like, you're kind of letting me down.
Sort of feels like a wasted opportunity.
Down on that one. Yeah. That was a great riff, really good. Really could have went somewhere, even if they went a completely different direction. Mm-hmm. As long as they returned to it, but they didn't.
Right. Well, you mentioned that, you know, how "Born from the Serpent's Eye" is probably the best track on the album, and I actually feel too that like if you were to listen to if you gave somebody just "Born from the Serpent's Eye" and "The Old Ones Are With Us," they almost have the whole album, in a sense. Like, it's kind of. You have the whole cross section right there,
yeah.
Like, of everything that they're gonna do on the album.
Pretty
so,
much, yep.
And it's too bad because I feel like, you know, classic Wolves albums like Two Hunters and Diadem and everything. They're immersive, you know, experiences, and you know they're trying to sort of convey the, you know, like the sort of grand nature of the wilderness that we were just talking about, you know, where they come from in Olympia, Washington. It's like. If those albums are these immersive experiences, I feel like Thrice Woven is a little bit like a the only analogy I can think of is it's like a guided tour, and it doesn't have enough stops along the way. It's kind of like we're gonna show you all the big landmarks, all the touristy stuff, but we're not really gonna like deviate too much. Yeah, like I just feel like there are some missed opportunities on the record, even on some of the, you know, like that track, The Old Ones Are With Us, that, you know, we both seem to enjoy pretty much. I feel like, you know, because there's the intro with the spoken word piece by Steve Von Till from Neurosis, which is pretty cool. You know, it's like sort of reciting an invocation for the end of winter and the coming of spring. You know, it's cool. It's a nice touch. And the acoustic guitar and a little bit of the ambiance that's going on in there is really cool. But I feel like the song kicks in almost a little too quickly into the heaviness. I feel like they could have expanded that intro a little bit more, just because they are, you know, they've shown how good they are at atmosphere and ambiance in the past. I feel like it was a little bit of a, I don't want to say jarring, but it was just a little bit abrupt, I feel like, when the heaviness of the song kicked in there, especially because then the song returns to that invocation with Steve Von Till again, and there's some sort of haunting melodic vocals that are added in there. So I thought the symmetry of the track could have worked a little bit better if the front half of it, or I should say the intro, had been a little bit longer. But I still like the track. I still think it's definitely one of the better ones on the album. So, and we had mentioned before too about how the very short track "Mother Owl, Father Ocean" is sort of it doesn't really need to even be its own track. You know, it's like you said, it could easily be part of the last track, "Fires Roar in the Palace of the Moon." And I don't feel like it's necessarily different enough from the break in "Born from the Serpent's Eye." I know it's the same vocalist. I forget what her name. Anna von Hauswolf. Yep. I feel like it's not different enough really for it to leave, you know, a lasting impression on me. So, but yeah, I mean, overall, I feel like it is an album that, while I do like it, it's not going to stick in my memory the way that, albums like Two Hunters and Diadem, and even to an extent, even though it was lesser so than the previous records, that Celestial Lineage, I thought that was a very good record too.
I did, yeah, I liked that one a lot.
So I'd like to see them try to experiment a little bit more, push the envelope a little bit more in different directions, because I feel like they're kind of they're experimenting and they're going down these sort of little dark avenues or whatever, but they're all within sort of the same framework, you know, this sort of beauty and melody versus, you know, harshness and everything. It's similar sort of to like the pattern that Opeth was in for a little while, I think.
Yeah.
And I just hope that they can be a little bit more experimental in new directions, and hopefully not go an Opeth-ish direction. Don't do that. Please don't.
I shouldn't doubt anything. Who knows? You know, we all change with age, but
right.
I think, yeah, I'd like to see them maybe just organize it a little better. That was really probably my biggest gripe with it, was a little bit of the organization and just kind of lack of follow-through, I guess, at the end.
Right.
I don't know. Kind of like we were saying. So, yeah, maybe in a way they played it safe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think you mentioned that before. Which happens. You know, fans do
right.
that. And who's to say what the next album will be? I mean, who knows? It could be groundbreaking.
Right.
You know, beyond belief. I think a lot of people are going to review this album as being something, you know, phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
I see that happening, but, you know, and they're entitled to their opinion. I just don't see it as being that high of a, you know, of a plateau or a totem,
mm-hmm.
just because of the lack of, you know, the certain things that they had in, you know, or the structure.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one thing that really just bothers me, is that structure.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I gotta read the lyrics. I haven't really read the lyrics at all. The mm-hmm. vinyl has some pretty nice artwork. I gotta say, at least artwork-wise, I'm really, mm-hmm. you know, I do enjoy that. It's mm-hmm. pretty well done. The lyrics, she has some pretty interesting work on it. Not sure if it was the same artist in all of it. Some of it picturesque, but I definitely want to read the lyrics, see if maybe, you know, I'm also one that gives albums multiple tries.
Right.
I've listened to this through and through three times, and it still hasn't, you know, really set into me yet. Maybe it will take the 10th time. I don't know. That happens.
Right.
That happens. I'd like to be able to sit down and listen to this on the turntable, which unfortunately I don't have set up. So it might be a little bit, but I'd like to do that and really just, you know, in nice, you know, the right setting and just crank it up and, you know, kind of go with it that way and see what happens. You know, maybe sometimes it's something you have to feel over just listen.
Right.
Just driving and listening to this album, which is, a, you know, my easiest way of doing so for a nice long commute that I have. It makes it doable.
Right.
So I did that a couple of times, and with the distraction of driving, you don't get to always focus on things. And it's not like I sat down and listened to this the way that I should really be listening to it. So I have to say that that might be playing a very big role, because I've done that before. And with all of their albums, I have always done that. I've always turned the lights off, cranked it up, and listened to it on my turntable with the speakers and, that I have. And it's completely different.
Right.
And so I really want to do that with this album on vinyl, and before I totally, you know, say that that is my final say on this album.
Right, right.
Because I might have a completely different opinion of it, and, you know, when I do that. Just haven't had the time, unfortunately. I just got the vinyl in because there's a back order from them, because I bought it directly from them. I like to do that in this kind of situation through their web store. I also picked up a couple of other things. I picked up a tape, actually, that was a limited pressing. So I picked up that, and I picked up an album that I didn't realize I had. So I'll be selling that one, I guess. But yeah, you know, such is life.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. So, but yeah, I wanted to do that with this. I really appreciate the vinyl packaging that they did. What I really thought was cool was on the inside they got artwork.
Oh, that's cool.
On the inside of the actual sleeves that are being that in hold the vinyl itself, there's printing, and it's pretty cool. It's some really cool medieval artwork. Can't quite see it, so I'll probably have to look it up online, because I'm sure somebody was brave enough to take it apart at this point in time.
Yeah.
Somebody who bought multiple copies, maybe.
Right, somebody who had to, they just couldn't.
Yeah, right.
Couldn't bear to not be able to see it in full.
So, so I will give the packaging some credit. I like that. I know the black vinyl, you know, limited to like maybe I think 1,000, and then the limited edition I think was 200 or something like that. I think it was in gold.
Oh wow, that's cool.
You know, definitely some different combinations with shirts and hoodies and stuff like that. But I just took to the vinyls.
Yeah.
More than that's cool. Expensive.
Yeah, I that's one thing too. I definitely bands that really go all out as far as packaging, and, you know, bands that have, you know, an aesthetic that they actually, you know, care about enough to really put the work into and the thought into that. I can always appreciate that. Like, even on an album where you may not, you know, after listening to this album 20 times, maybe it, you know, it's still, you know, you have still have the same opinion of it. At least there's some value to, you know, what they do aesthetically and with their packaging and everything too. It's cool. It's an experience. That's what I like about bands like Wolves. So,
I mean, I'm not familiar with Artemisia Records. I know they've released a couple other things, unless it's their own thing that I'm not aware of. But I'm pretty sure it's an independent label. I just I'm not that familiar with them.
Yeah.
So I'll have to look into that.
Cool. Well, I mean, I was hesitant to try to rate this album because I knew that I had to listen to it some more, just like you said. Like, I'd say at the moment, I'd probably give it like a 6 out of 10, probably, or something like that, or like 5.5, 6, probably somewhere in there.
I was gonna say 6.5 for me.
Yeah.
With a potential of 9. Like, it's possible that I just haven't discovered, you know, really gotten to that point with this album yet. You know, and I was reading a really good article this afternoon, actually. From what was it? It was Satir from Satyricon.
Okay.
And he said, you know, he doesn't want to write an album like he had in the past, like Nemesis Divina, and, you know, tour and do it for, you know, for what everyone wants him to do it for. He wants to do what he needs to do, what he wants, what he's feeling. And he puts that amount of effort into creating what he wants to create, he says that, you know, in his aspect, it will take effort to understand and listen to that album.
Right.
That's just one of these things. They did the same thing. They're artists. They're creating something pretty magnificent, really. I at least me personally hold a high standard for them just because of their previous work that, you know, it's hard to live up to. It really is because of how much they've already accomplished. But like I said, I really want to give this a 9 soon.
Yeah, I'm hoping too that by the time I've really sort of wrapped my head around it better, that my rating will go up. So I hope. So I guess we'll move on then. We'll move on from Wolves in the Throne Room to the 1996 Cake album, Fashion Nugget. Quite the transition, yes. But, I was very glad, actually, that Paul, you suggested this, because it was an album that I definitely rediscovered in listening to it in preparation, you know, for this. So,
I mean, this is an old album, man. This is 1996 Capricorn Records.
Yeah.
I mean, this album brings back so many memories from my childhood. I lived on this album, as well as much of Cake, but this is not the first Cake that I ever listened to, like many people did, because this album had The Distance, which was a big hit and still is now. You still hear it in commercials on TV. But I Will Survive, their cover of Gloria Gaynor, I believe. Gloria Gaynor's I Will Survive, although not originally written by her, but amazing cover. They swear in it, so it was always edited on MTV, but it was MTV airplay. Now, if I look for it, I have a VHS of these guys from their first album. Yeah. And I heard them, I used to be part of a Rock Video Monthly. Uh-huh. It was a club that would send you VHS tapes, and I was signed up. Signed up to the metal category, so I discovered a lot of bands. That was my first taste into Cannibal Corpse, one of my favorite bands of all time.
Yeah.
Bands like Fear Factory, things like that. So really great stuff. And they sent these seasonal compilations, bands, new bands. And Cake was one of them. And I'm like, all right, this is nothing like I listened to, but it's kind of groovy.
Right.
You know, it's pretty cool. It was a little weird because, I mean, this is Motorcade of Generosity, the first album. And it's kind of like, all right, it was a funky album. It was quirky. Yeah. But when this came out, it was completely different. You know, it started getting the airplane and whatnot. And it's just a phenomenal album. From beginning to end, I think every single song is strong and just delivers. It's, although very bizarre, like Race Car Yayas, that is a weird tune, man. I love it, though.
Yeah,
I love it. I hadn't listened to this album in a while, and when you asked me to do the show, I nothing really, shot out at me, and then all of a sudden, I'm like, Cake, I got Cake, man. I love this album, and I am a big Cake head. I've seen Cake over a dozen times.
Yeah.
Every show is awesome. They give away a free tree at their shows, which I think is killer. Then you have to go home, plant it, and take pictures every year and give it to them. You guys submit it to their website.
That's awesome.
And they have a map that marks out where every tree has been and stuff. Like, it's great. I love it. They're complete hippies. They have their own solar studio.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know, everything about these guys, like I said, to me, people have an obsession with the band Fish. People have an obsession with the band The Grateful Dead. They're deadheads. They're cakeheads. I'm a cakehead. You know, that's just the way it is for me.
Right.
As much as a metalhead I am, I absolutely love this band. And every time I've seen them live, they've been phenomenal. I don't hear, they'll definitely play songs off of this.
Mm-hmm.
Their live shows, they never play the same set list, and they never write a set list.
Mm-hmm.
So, they even joked on stage how, people ask them to sign a set list, and, we don't have one. We come up with the songs while we're up here.
Yeah.
That's the kind of band that they are.
That's cool.
And that's why I love going to see them. One time, they started out, I couldn't believe it, they started the whole show off with Sad Songs and Waltzes. The last track on this album started a show. I was like, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
It is brilliant. That's like Nine Inch Nails starting off the show with Hurt.
Right. That's when people always used to say how, if you went to see somebody like Fish or actually I remember somebody telling me, it was specifically Dave Matthews, somebody went to see Dave Matthews. It was like you could go to one show and he'd be playing like every upbeat, like you know, whatever song you could think of that was just, you know, very you know, sort of, I hate to use like a get the party started cool, you know, expression or whatever, but like those kind of songs, upbeat songs, very happy stuff. And then like you'd go to, you could go to the next show and it's like every just like somber, like, you know, slow, just kind of depressing song. And like, you know, granted, and then Dave Matthews will play for like 3 hours or whatever, so it's like, you know, you're sitting through all of that. So yeah, I definitely appreciate that. There's another band too that I was thinking of when you were talking about how they don't do set lists. I think it's the White Stripes I was thinking of.
Okay.
Because they would, I remember, you know, hearing that they would do that too, and that's just great. I mean, that just shows you that their the quality of like their, you know, musicianship and their showmanship and everything. Like they're, you know, they're the real deal. You know.
Yeah.
And that's,
it's
great.
Pretty much always been like the same members. There's a lot of consistency in this band. They really haven't changed.
Right.
You know, they've always followed, you know, their path, and they're fortunate enough to be able to do so. I mean, this is the album that really got them to be able to get to that level.
Right.
And, you know, most of their, at least, definitely after this, I mean, this one definitely didn't have that, but most of their albums, all their covers are printed in, like, you know, animal safe, dye free, you know, whatever, right, ink kind of stuff. Yeah. Everything's recycled. You know, all their shirts are recycled. I don't even know. Every you know, hemp grown.
Right, right.
Solar powered, everything. It's which is great because they are completely self-sustainable as a band,
right?
And they really have the liberty to do whatever they want, kind of like Phish, without really any major airplay. I mean, there is some, yes, but it's always of old songs. Like, I mean, not that they've had a new album out in a while, but it's usually the same like two or three songs, and it's usually Short Skirt Long Jacket is the big one. I don't even know what else. And you'll hear The Distance on once in a while, and rarely will I hear I Will Survive Now.
Yeah.
Once in a rare while. Mm-hmm. But I love every one of their albums, although I think this is still probably my favorite. There's just some great tunes on there.
Yeah.
Stick Shifts and Safety Belts. Love it.
Well, the thing that I you know, because I wrote, for my notes, I wrote that, like, what a, just a breath of fresh air it was, I remember, when I heard this album.
Yeah. Yep.
Really. And, In just John McRae's, like, his vocals, especially the monotone verses, you know, on The Distance, because that was the first thing I really heard. There were this sort of like oddity that I couldn't get out of my head, like as soon as I heard it, and it was, for me, their greatest strength, you know, and it's evidenced like in spades on this record, is there's like a perfect sort of balance in the instrumentation, to create a sound that, you know, you can imagine it working perfectly well in like a nightclub, like a jazz club or something, you know, with something like the opening track, Frank Sinatra. But you can also, you know, you can imagine them, you know, like in a stadium, you know, with something like with the Distance, you know, when the sort of controlled chaos that's going on in the choruses and stuff. It's just, they have that range, and every song, like you said, every song is different on this record too.
It really is
just great. But nothing, that's the thing, is nothing's overdone. Nothing ever feels like bad imitation of any sort of genre of music or any influence that they might have. Like, you know, they don't overdo anything, which is so great.
They are a very unique band. They have their own sound. There really isn't another band that sounds like these guys, and just the way that they write. And a lot of it has to do with sometimes, like, it's just off timed. A lot of the vocals are off time to the music, and he just does it so well. And then always, like, he's off time, but it's on time in an off beat, and then all of a sudden it kicks back in and it's right there, and it just, in a way, not that Cake's music would ever punch you in the face, but it punches you in the face. Like, they it'd be more of kind of like a awkward hug maybe, but not a
right
but yeah, there's, every song is different. Like Stitches and Safety Belts is a very almost like a country-esque tune, in a way, you know, a little southern feel to it.
But I love it because they don't go full bore where all of a sudden it becomes like it's country, but there's not really any twang to it.
Right.
It's done so subtly. That's what I love about it. And just, I mean, if you go down the list, I mean, if you look at, you know, something
perhaps is, yes, loungy.
Yeah, you can almost imagine, like, you know, like Richard Cheese, you know, you're not too far off with, like, something like that, you know, but, yeah, I mean, especially, I kept noticing things, like, I was actually listening to it on the drive over, and, you know, I just love how there's, you know, little flourishes here and there of certain things, like on Daria, like a lot of the percussion stands out to me. And even like the way that, the guitar is used in a way that is very sort of percussive. And there's a lot of different things like that. There's little flashes of, like, you know, Hammond organ on a couple of the tracks, but they don't overuse anything. Like, it's there and then it's gone. It's like, it's so subtle that it just works. It just worked perfectly. And
a funny thing is, another part of that was in the article with Satyricon that I read today that also described how, you know, a lot of albums, they'll come out and this thing is just, it's just too much of a dominant force in the album. And certain things, certain elements like that should maybe be in the background because they add a lot more being that subtle versus being right on the forefront. He was more so speaking of, like, keyboards in regards to, like, black metal during that time period, you know, a la Cradle Filth and things like that.
Yeah.
But it goes hand in hand with a lot of bands like this and alternative bands, too. If you're doing something different and unique and you make it stand out too much, that almost kind of, like, unless you want it to be your signature, it kind of will end up becoming cliche.
Right.
And they will always stray, I think, from that, because they are the complete opposite of that. They are a band that expresses really just whatever they want. And their songs can be very, very negative.
Yeah.
If you read lyrically, their songs are, even the song might be upbeat, if you look into the lyrics, it's like all of a sudden you need a Prozac. Like, this is our society. Holy crap.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, there is a lot of that lurking under the surface. But again, like, McRae does it in such a way that it does, like, if you're just giving it a casual listening, it's gonna go over your head at first. But then, you know, when you really start absorbing it, then especially like with Italian Leather Sofa. Like,
I love that song. One of my favorites.
Yeah, it's a great song. And you know, when you listen to the lyrics, I was like noticing it more and more when I was driving over here, like, you know, he's just talking about this really sort of just like awful superficial like relationship like between these two people, but it's sort of like just in the way he describes it, like it, I don't know, like it almost doesn't sound like negative at first when you're listening to it.
Well, because it's about healthy breasts.
Exactly.
Bounce.
Yeah, you can't really get that image as a man. Yeah, right. And think about it in a negative way. But then the more you listen to it, you're like, oh, okay, like this is really about like this just sort of just awful, empty sort of relationship between these two people. And then it hits you like a ton of bricks a little bit. But yeah, it's that kind of scope sort of when it comes to lyrical content that is really like, even like with Race Carriayas, Race Carriayas when he's talking about the dice that look like testicles?
Yes.
Yes. Fuzzy, okay.
Fuzzy dice.
Like
testicles from rear view mirrors.
I remember when I first heard that track, I was like, okay, like he knows how to straddle this line between like where it almost goes into like parody or like satire, like where it's almost too much, but he knows exactly when to stop.
That guitar riff though is so perfect for that song though, because it's like it's something about a yaya, just like the way that he's like, da-na-na, 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 da-na-na. Like that's a yaya. It's a great tune. I love that one.
Yep.
Nugget. I never thought anyone would be able to swear in a song involving chicken McNuggets.
Right.
Cake has done it. It's great. I love the tune. I can't describe it. You just have to listen to the songs.
Yeah.
Sharpened knives through chicken McNuggets, and it's just a great tune. I don't know.
Yeah, that's because I feel like Cake is one of those groups that you know, people who wouldn't necessarily give an album like this a chance, you know, if they just heard, you know, the bigger hits, like if they just heard the distance, or maybe if they heard like something like Frank Sinatra, like it's really a shame, you know, because there is a lot of hidden treasure, like,
oh yeah,
in the album. So
and the thing is, I mean, having gone to many other shows, and even from the first one that I went to, which was well into their career, they rarely played the East Coast for a long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And I really hope that actually one of the universities would bring them in for something, for a show, for like a spring weekend or something like that, but they never did. And finally, they started playing a couple of shows here and there, and I would actually search out, because most of them were in Manhattan, so I would go to them. But then they started playing a few shows. They played any show they played in Connecticut, which I think has been like three or four that I know of. I've been to. I know they played one in Waterbury, they played one in Danbury, they played two in Hartford. So I've been to those shows. Most of them have been in New York, and I think one or two in Mass.
Yeah.
But they are packed with people, and people who know every lyric to every song.
Right.
It's not like all these people are there just to hear The Distance,
right,
or you know, Short Skirt, Long Jacket. It's it is diehard fans for the most part. And it's, like I said, I mean, thousands of people packed.
Yeah, that's like the trade-off when it comes to, you know, somebody like Cake, somebody who is not necessarily, you know, they're not really a mainstream, like, you know, they're not a mainstream band right now. They're not, certainly not Flavor of the Month or anything. So, like, it probably is harder to get to one of their shows. But, like you said, the crowd there is going to be so much more, you know, just interested and just like a better crowd in general. I mean, the vibe would be so much better than when you go to, you know, to whatever the current band is.
Oh yeah, there's no doubt. I've definitely, when I've seen them, it's just everybody's in a good mood.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's having a good time. Everyone's dancing or bouncing around or whatever. Not as, you know, maybe trippy as a Fish show.
Right.
Everyone's, it's kind of like the happy mix probably between, now I've never been to a Dave Matthews show, so I can't say that for sure, but I've been to a Fish show, and I'd say it's like a happy mix between Dave and Fish.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of right in that middle where people are dancing, having a good time, but it's not out of control. Everyone's pretty cool and laid back.
Yeah.
And not everyone is completely, you know, blitzed.
Right.
But I'm sure there's a few, you know, many people are on some sort of a substance.
Right. Alcohol.
But it's always a good show. Like I said, you know, give away a tree, man.
Yeah, I mean, how can you really? That's something that, like, maybe we should send Wolves in the Throne Room a message, like, you guys need to start handing out trees at your shows. That's funny. So I mean, I'm gathering from the way you're talking about this that, I mean, this, if you were to rate this album, it would certainly be,
oh, it'd have to be a 10. If possible.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, definitely it's one of my favorite albums of all time. There's no doubt about it. And out of all of their catalog, it is probably still my favorite album. Just from the consistency of the songs. I mean, like I said, there's not a bad track on there. Some quirky ones, without a doubt.
Right.
I mean, I love Friend is a four-letter word. I mean, the statement alone right there is just fantastic.
Yep.
And for a while, having, you know, watching them, it wasn't until like my fourth or fifth time seeing them, they finally played Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
And I love that song. And it took a while for them to play it, and it finally got it. My dream came true.
Yeah.
And since then, I've seen them play it, I think, two or three times. So it's always a treat when they play that song,
because
it's not a very common one. I mean, they'll play, generally when I see them, I've heard most of the songs off this album. They haven't played everything. I definitely have heard Stick Shifts and Safety Belts a couple of times. I Will Survive, they'll play once in a rare while, but I have heard it. Race Car Yaya is, I don't know if I've ever heard it. I don't know if they've ever done it. Maybe once. Daria, I've definitely heard. Open Book, maybe once. Friend is a four-letter word, I've heard once or twice. The Distance, a couple of times. Frank Sinatra, a couple of times. Sad Songs and Waltzes, they've been playing a little bit more lately, apparently.
That's an opener. That's so funny.
You know, and as an opener, I think it was hilarious. I've heard Italian Leather Sofa once or twice. She'll Come Back to Me once or twice, and that's one of my favorites on this album too.
Yeah.
Absolutely love that track. It's a good little love tune, and a little bit of a country twang to it.
But yeah,
it's like I said, just enough, not overkilling it. So yeah, definitely a 10 for me. Like I said, growing up on this album, and and I always go back to it every couple of years, and I'm glad I did again because it's been quite a while since I've listened to it.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm gonna start listening to the rest of their albums.
Yeah, I would certainly give it a 10 too. Especially, I mean, any album that has 14 tracks, and they're all solid, and they're all, you know, they're unique. I mean, that's so rare. I mean, it's rare enough to be able to find a album that has 10 tracks where every track is solid and, you know, not a rehash of something else. So for them to be able to make an album, you know, with this amount of great material is pretty outstanding. And I've definitely come to appreciate the album more, too, I think, over time. I know I definitely liked it when I first listened to it, but I don't think I really grasped, like, the album in its entirety as much as I just like four or five songs off of it, you know, were like heavy in, you know, my rotation of whatever playlists I made and stuff. But now I definitely, like, from front to back, I can listen to the whole thing and enjoy it, you know, a lot. And it does make me want to, like you said, go into the, you know, dig deeper into the catalog and really go for, you know, some of the other albums, because I know there's tracks here and there from the other albums that I remember, you know, liking a lot, but I mean, there's certainly a lot of material, and
yeah, there is. They've got quite a few albums. I'm not sure what number it is now, and I lose track of them periodically because I don't hear much coming out from them. And like, yeah, so they haven't released an album in a while. Mm-hmm. But they have been playing shows. I know they're still active, but they play limited shows. Most of them West Coast right now. I think they're just taking some time. Yeah. You know, and they do that. They'll take a good 4-year break, you know, and they can. It's because they can.
Right, and it's good. I mean, it's, you know, I would always tell a band, like, look, like, take a break. Take the time you need. Like, I hate when bands try to rush material out. I mean, that's, like, the worst thing you can do. And certainly, I mean, there's, you know, there's times when, you know, like, if you look at somebody like Tool.
Right.
Or somebody like that. Sure. I mean, it's just like, all right, you know. You're taking a little bit too long now, but
seriously.
But I know there was like a lawsuit going on with that album.
Yeah,
so
there's plenty of things
sort
going
of
on. I know, but like, but as has also been, you know, described, you know, perfection is an issue with that band, and they definitely take a very long time because they keep changing things. But unfortunately, people change, so you got to just live in the moment and get it out.
Right,
otherwise,
exactly.
You're never going to be happy with what you're doing in their regards. With Cake, I mean, and thankfully we've had more consistency in their albums than Tool has. But yeah, they're kind of doing their own thing, living, you know, doing what they want to do. I think they have plenty to write about now. I think most musicians do with the state of affairs.
Yeah, it's certainly
world.
Not a, yeah.
I think he has got plenty to write about. So I'd hope to see maybe something next year. It'd be great to see something at the end of next year. And maybe have them kind of, you know, do some kind of summer shows in the area. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see them come around again and kind of see what kind of playlist they put together.
Yeah.
And see what happens. It's always a treat to see these guys. And for me, it's been a couple of years now since they've played. Probably more than 4, to be honest with you, because I can't say I remember going to see them any time in the past 4 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Probably 5 or 6 years ago was the last time I saw them. And that was probably when they played Hartford.
Yeah.
Waterbury. Sorry, okay. Waterbury. Would have been Waterbury. So, well, we'll see. We'll see. Maybe maybe we can convince some university to spend some money for their spring fling for a cool band and that nobody and listens to in the area anymore. So we'll see what happens. But, and we'll see what songs they play off this. Be curious.
Yeah.
I'd expect maybe 1 or 2. I don't know how many more than that. They got a pretty good catalog to play. They like to play like 1 or 2 tracks that are kind of expected of them to play. Usually one of them's off this album, so
yeah, it's got to be tough when you have that much material.
It is.
So.
It can't be easy, and I love hearing the old stuff. I mean, I love Motorcade of Generosity, one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
You know, got Rock and Roll Lifestyle is a classic. I love that track, absolutely love it. Same with Jolene and Ruby Sees All. They play that quite a bit too.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely hear those songs a bit.
Yeah, it's cool too because. Motorcade is, like you said, it's really before, you know, a lot of times with bands, you know, you have that one album where they're still sort of finding their, trying to get on their feet, trying to find their sound and everything. And like, sometimes it's cool in a way because it's a little bit of, the material's still good enough, even though, it's not necessarily, you know, what the particular sound that the band arrived at, you know, once they got to, you know, like their second album or whatever,
But the jump that they made from that first album to this album is magnificent.
It's crazy,
I mean,
yeah.
And that first album, I still think, is a great, very good album.
Right.
Especially for his first album. I mean, they were pretty much signed to Capricorn right off the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know enough about their back history before that point in time.
Right.
Like I said, I just discovered them on this VHS that has four songs of them basically playing live, actually.
Yeah.
And it, you know, I know it's from the album Motorcade of Generosity, that I believe the album came out in 94,
mm-hmm.
but this was a summer special issue in 95. So maybe it was 95, because... You know, this Fashion Nugget came out in 96, so
mm-hmm.
it's very possible to knock out two albums like that if you were a band for 3 or 4 years before that,
right,
writing
right.
up your tunes, you just didn't record them. And that happens a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So, who knows,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
Well, they weren't making that much money at that point in time, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. So.
And even now, like I said, I mean, if they must be doing, you know, well enough with the shows that they play, because, like I said, easy, you know, 8,000 capacity can be filled with
right.
these guys.
Yeah, that's pretty good for a band that doesn't, you know, get any mainstream attention anymore. So, but all right, cool. So yeah, so that's definitely that's a 10 out of 10 for both of us. So for sure. Yeah, man, this was a great time. I had a really good time doing this. Yeah, no problem. Thank you for coming on. And I think we're gonna definitely try to in the future we're gonna try to get into the studio over there at WestCon and maybe try to record a show over there. Maybe we can do some sort of metal. I was thinking maybe like a metal breakdown, something like top 10 metal albums of the year. You'll be like freaking out because you're like, how do I choose 10?
Oh, we do a top.
Oh, that's right, you do.
We used to do a top 100.
Right,
I was
right. I forgot.
To get lazy in my old age. So I think we're gonna move on along to more of the top 50 consistently
okay.
now. It just makes it. I'd love to recognize those other 50 albums, but
yeah.
I mean, they were already recognized during the year, and to really get to that point, it's like, well, what's the point?
Mm-hmm.
To care about those 50 bands. I mean, they got enough spins. We'll concentrate on the main 50. Plus, it takes 4 hours for us to do about 50 songs.
Right.
So, you know, 4 to 4.5, depending on the length of the songs. You know, when you got some Wolves in the Throne Room in there,
yeah,
and
exactly,
a few other
yeah.
things, it's, you know, it adds up. So, you know, 4.5 has definitely happened,
mm-hmm.
and it takes a while, so we try to stick it to what we got,
yeah.
and I'm sure Wolves will probably be in that top
mm-hmm.
50, there's no doubt about it, it's definitely an album that should be included in that, but there's a lot of other great albums out there right now, and that have come out throughout this year.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see which one comes to number one. I got to start getting ready on that soon. We got a few more weeks. yeah. We got about another month of recording, and then I really got to crack down on that top 50, and we'll see where that goes.
Yeah.
And we'll see. We do an all instrumental and an all cover show at the end
that's
of the
right.
year too. So that's always fun. I like
cool.
doing that. So maybe maybe we'll do the all instrumental show. That'd work out pretty good.
Yeah, that would be cool. Yeah, I would enjoy that. Yeah, for sure. So, all right, cool. Well, all right. Well, thanks again,
all right,
Paul,
thank
for
you.
Doing this, and everybody out there. Make sure you, I know I've mentioned it before on the show, but make sure, go to, is it still WXCI.com?
.org.
Okay.
WXCI.org.
Okay. Yeah, make sure you guys go to that and you can stream the show Heart Attack, which is Sunday nights at 9.
Sundays at 9. Yep.
Sunday nights at 9. Yeah. Make sure you guys stream that, because it's a great show and, yeah, definitely for sure. And, like I said, I'm going to try to, we're going to try to get into the studio sometime soon and record some cool stuff over there. So, all right, cool. Well, thank you guys for listening. That concludes this episode of Radio Live Transmission. I'm Ryan, your host, and you guys have a good night.